after they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking on this Saturday evening. Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon Diel are here. You can tune into the live stream as well if that floats your boat, over on YouTube or Facebook or X or wherever you fancy it. And here for about the next hour or so, doing a couple of things. Spinning some plates as always, looking back on today's action. That means we want to hear from you, Motherwell, St Mirren fans. Comfortable wins for you in the local area. So what did you make of that? How important were they, particularly St Mirren fans, in terms of getting back to winning ways ahead of the cup final next week? So I'd love to hear from you and Motherwell fans. Some more lovely stuff, particularly one of the goals in particular, a really nice team move. So how good are you feeling about things? Let's look ahead to tonight as well. Rangers fans, you'll be getting ready to head down there for an 8 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday night at Kilmarnock. How important is this one? Danny Rule surely can't afford to fall any further behind. Would you make any changes to the team? Just give us your general thoughts ahead of that one. Celtic fans, what about tomorrow then? As if it's not exciting enough that it's a top of the table clash. Martin O'Neill did so well. He wiped out an 8-point deficit, turned it into zero. Hearts come to the east end of Glasgow tomorrow, and you've got a new manager in Wilfried Nancy. What are you expecting? Changes? Big changes? Small changes? No changes at all? What have you made of the new manager? And of course, the topic that nobody's ready to give up on yet, the World Cup draw. Confirmed last night that it will be Haiti, Brazil, Morocco that Scotland will face in the USA next summer. And hopefully, very soon, we're going to find out the exact dates, times and venues for those games as well. So if you've already booked up or you're about to press the button, we'd love to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Anything else we've missed, Hugh? It feels like quite a list.
No, I mean, dealing with things in chronological order, Kilmarnock Rangers now, Motherwell have gone 3 points ahead of Rangers. Hibs have leapfrogged Rangers, and Rangers are now fourth in the table. So it's a double-edged sword as ever. If Danny Rule can get a performance out of his team, they cut the gap between themselves and Celtic to 6 points. If Danny Rule can't get a performance out of his team, it might be that Celtic go into Wilfried Nancy's first match tomorrow with the possibility of going 12 points ahead of Rangers, at which point, pandemonium.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight's game. First and foremost, I think it'll be a difficult game. And then tomorrow, the big one, the one we're all waiting for, under a new manager at Celtic. But it was good wins today. Important wins for St Mirren, for instance. Another good win for Motherwell, doing absolutely brilliant. Aberdeen getting a result up at Dens, and then Hibs blowing away Falkirk at Easter Road. So it's been a good day for those teams, but all eyes will be firmly on Rugby Park tonight, because I think both teams probably need a result tonight. Would that be fair, Cammy?
Yeah. Listen, I think certainly Kilmarnock's form this season's not been great. They've got a lot of injuries to deal with, suspensions tonight, but again, we all know that Rugby Park's a difficult venue for any team to go to. But Rangers, for me, need to win tonight. They're under a lot of pressure. They need to go and get 3 points. Another draw is not good enough. They need to take all 3 points back home. So it's going to be an interesting game.
We love this part on a Saturday, because you're jumping back in the car or on the bus or whatever after a game, and we love to think we're the first people you think of to get your opinions off your chest. And such is the schedule nowadays. The guys have alluded to it, with preview games to come tonight, tomorrow, and anything else that's out there. Thomas is a Motherwell fan. How are you, Thomas?
Yeah, good, thanks, you.
Good, thank you. What are you calling for? Impressed with what you witnessed today, I would guess?
Oh, really impressed. I think that's 8 unbeaten now in the league, I'm sure, if I read that right. But I was just sitting during the game. I think we were 2-0 up, and I was thinking to myself, you hear fans shouting, and I'm not too pleased with some of the passes and things. But you say that, but a few months ago, after being 2-0 up, and how massive it is, do you know what I mean? We're third in the league right just now. Obviously, Rangers play tonight, but I just think the trajectory and where we're going is just, you compare it to how we were a wee while ago, it's.
Yeah, because Gordon, that period when Motherwell weren't getting results, all you had to do was watch the games. You need to realise that they probably would come. There's never any guarantees, but you go back to the day they really controlled the game against Kilmarnock, and the goalie dropped it in the last minute. That's got nothing to do with your style or anything else, and Kilmarnock scored. They obviously, as we spoke about loads, 3-0 up at Tynecastle, and cruising is not even the word. But then again, I think the goalkeeper, a couple of errors, and credit to Hearts, they are where they are for a reason. So Thomas has talked about, you know, where they were, but you can understand why the manager always, to use one of the most annoying phrases in modern football, trusted the process.
Yeah, and he was quite right to do that, because it was not that long ago we were sitting here and you're thinking, if Livingston won tonight, then Motherwell will get beat. They're bottom of the league. And you'd be thinking, well, hold on a minute with this great football. They're sitting third and they've been absolutely brilliant. The crowds are come flooding back. You've seen that in good attendance today as well. I know Hearts played a big part in it last week with the travelling support. But the Motherwell fans are buying into this football. The style of football, everything that he's doing. The thing I love about the guy is he's a very, to me, active manager, a brave manager. He's making four changes, five changes. He's made seven changes today, and you're thinking, why is he making all the changes? Because everything's going along quite nice. They get a good result against Hibs, played Hibs off the pitch. They got a good draw against Hearts and maybe found themselves a bit unlucky not to win, pick up the 3 points, and then he makes seven changes and they still go and blow Livingston out the water. So you've got to hand it to him. He's doing a fantastic job.
He's been an inspired choice. There's no other description for it. An inspired choice to replace Michael Vinner as manager. And, you know, they're not only winning games that they should win, such as today's, but they're winning it by a 3-goal margin and with style. Style enough to get Thomas on the phone straight away. So Jens Bertel Askew is one of the stories of the season.
Thomas, what have you made of this? It's the style. You can't get away from it. It's what everyone's speaking about when it was out yesterday. In a kind of cafe, and there was a guy just sitting next to me who was a Celtic fan, but he just leaned over and just wanted to talk about how impressed he was, you know, with the way Motherwell are going about their business. I always think it's not that you need validation from other people, but it always tells a story when fans of other clubs are noticing it, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm really pleased with it, to be honest. You can see like players like Stephen O'Donnell and things, where over the past wee while fans were starting to take a wee dislike to things, but then he just players like that are just still fitting into the system, and it's really good to see. And but I look at a player like Elliot Watt, and although a lot of changes are happening, if he got injured, that's one player I feel that would really struggle without. He's just been so good in all the games we've played and under Jens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been brilliant, hasn't he? I mean, he scored the opener today. He didn't play midweek, and Oscar Priestman played. And Mull didn't win the game, but seven changes. He made seven changes incredible today. We spoke about the five that he made ahead of Hibs coming.
Yep.
You know, it's not just like, I know Livy are struggling and it's a home game, but it's not just this. It was five for Hibs coming as well.
Listen, I just think the way that he manages his squad, he obviously trusts the ability within the squad as well, and he understands that all these players can play the style that he's wanting to play. And for me, if you've got a squad and you're able to rotate it like that, all the players are staying fresh. If you do get an injury, I know Thomas has mentioned Elliot Watt there, if he was to get injured, they might miss him. But again, you're not missing him as much because you've got guys that are coming in who have played a lot of football this season. It's not guys that have been sitting on the bench and getting 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. They've started a lot of games, and that's why I think he's been excellent within his management of his squad. He's obviously got a really good relationship with the players because they're all buying into it. They're all wanting to learn and listen and do what he's instructing them to do. So listen, it is a fantastic story. And I'm pretty sure all the Motherwell fans will just want it to continue for the rest of the season.
Your problem is his good work will go far and wide.
Oh, I knew you were going to say
somebody will take him.
You think so, Hugh?
Oh,
I think it's a bit early. Look, there's no doubt he's done a terrific job. I like the way, not just, okay, going to Falkirk at midweek and getting a 0-0, it's not the worst result in the world. Mm. But I like the way he can change not just personnel, but he changes his shape and everything to suit the game. And I like that. It's forward thinking from him. I think he's been brilliant for Motherwell, and may it continue.
Thomas, if you were to look at just Motherwell, Motherwell's results, Motherwell's performances, Motherwell's league position, you would get your hopes up pretty high, wouldn't you, about where you could finish in the league? But then at the same time, there's not a lot in it. There's loads of teams that are really close by. You assume Rangers are going to get better at some point and all that stuff. What do you think the end game is?
The way I look at it just now, almost, I'm not getting too sort of optimistic. I'm happy with the results, but we're almost setting up like a safety net, you know. Now, approaching midway through the season, so if poor results start to come, then we've already created that for ourselves, which is good, and it gives you a wee bit of comfort when you're going to the games and a wee bit of peace of mind, just even subconsciously. But obviously we're looking to push on and get as high up as we can, of course, but yeah, so just outside of that zone down the bottom is the most pleasing thing for me. So anything above that is, it's an added extra though.
Some to be fair, Thomas sounds level headed, right, but mm-hmm. people do eventually raise their expectations, don't they? Because my personal view on this, see at the start when all this was happening and the style was good but the results weren't, I took a really basic view on it that in the last few seasons Motherwell will generally kind of finish 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th in that bracket. And I thought, see if they still finish there, but it's better to watch then good, no harm done. I'm not saying the new style is going to rocket you up the league, but if you're going to finish there anyway, so be it. But now you would be looking at it and thinking,
you're looking top five, easy. Yeah, yeah. Easy.
Well, certainly six, obviously, with the natural no, the
no,
split.
I know what you're saying, Gordon, but I'm looking at those five positions now, and then underneath that, I think Motherwell could go, at worst, the top five. Right?
Worst?
Yeah.
But look how tight it is. Do you know?
So tight.
There's only five points to seven.
But they're dominating football games.
I get it.
Right? They're dominating. They're making changes. You quite rightly say there about he's keeping everybody ticking over and fresh. He's got a January window. Yeah. And obviously, Motherwell are going to back this guy. If this guy goes and says, look, I need a couple of players to kick on, I am sure a Motherwell board will do everything to help him out. So I know what you're saying, how tight it is and how the league changes from week to week, but it's the football they're playing, the confidence, they're dominating teams. They're not going and getting, you know, a fluky 1-0 or a draw or whatever it may be and holding on. They are the guys that are dominating. Other teams are now looking to see, how can we stop Motherwell playing?
Yeah, and again, that's just a measure of where Motherwell are at just now. Falkirk have changed their style completely to try and go and nullify Motherwell during the week to try and get a result out of the game. They managed to do that. But again, it just shows you how far Motherwell have came, that other teams, as you're right, Daz, are actually looking at the opposition and saying, how do we stop this? They're a real force at this moment in time. And I just think that the league is very, very tight. They're ticking along nicely. The manager will be quite happy with what he's seeing and what they're doing. And see if they get in the top six. That's a massive achievement for me. I think it's a huge step forward for the club.
Thank you very much to Thomas. But Ben, who's on the other line, would be more than entitled to say they're not in the League Cup final and we are. Don't forget what happened at Hampden. Ben is a St Mirren fan. Happy with the league win today though, Ben, ahead of that final?
Yeah, I was delighted. It was brilliant to see. Long time coming, of course. But we haven't been playing that bad. It's just obviously you get confidence from today going into next week. And my point was really that I think a lot of it today was he tried to change things up a bit. Started Richard King, which meant he could put Alec Gogic in the midfield, which gives a bit of extra dig. So I suppose that gives a lot to think about for next week, because do we do that against Celtic? Probably yes. I would go with that. But just wait to see what the panel thought.
Well, he's your pal from the school gates.
Yeah.
So
I know Alec very, very, very well. Good
very,
player.
Very, very well.
Very, very well indeed. Good player. Listen, he's one of these players that he can. I think he played a lot of his football with Hibs in the middle of the park in Hamilton. So he's one of these players that can play there, or he can play at the back. He can play in a four. He can play in a three. He's a very, very good player. Good player to have about. I totally agree. I thought it was so important for St Mirren to get a result today, skin into the cup final next week. Gives them that little bit of confidence. I thought they showed a bit of character up at Pittodrie. That would have been a good confidence booster for them as well. They've carried that on today with a good result at home, and they'll feel a bit better about themselves going to face Celtic at Hampden.
I think it's a completely free hit for St Mirren at Hampden.
Cup finals are ever free hits, though, truly.
Because of the circumstances, Gordon, you know, because people will look at Celtic and say, well, automatically Celtic are the favourites. Wilfred Nancy dare not lose a cup final. Absolutely dare not lose a cup final at the end of his first week as manager. And St Mirren get the free hit.
How do you feel about that, though, Ben? Because I've kind of beat any time I remember to make it about Motherwell again, just because personal experience. Motherwell reached two cup finals, both against Celtic, but they were Brendan Rodgers Celtic and they were at the top of their game, and it felt really difficult. But you must feel like you've got a bit of a chance. If you're going to have a chance against a Celtic in the final, you must be feeling all right about this one, no?
Well, I don't know that they were like they were last season, but yeah. Totally underdogs, of course. I'm actually quite relaxed about it because, every time, even if we lose, then I'm just gonna think to myself all the time these days, will Scotland qualify for the World Cup? So
that's one way of looking at it. I do like that.
But obviously, I'll be upset at the time. But I'll just think of that, and it'll make me feel happy again.
Ben, put it the other way: St Mirren win the cup, and Scotland beat Brazil with John McGinn and Kenny McLean and all the excellent Mirren players in the team. Seriously, aim high.
I know. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? I was saying to your producer, I'm booked up to go to the World Cup next year to Vancouver because I wasn't that fussed about all the hassle about trying to find out where Scotland are. I just want to go and join the party. And my friend's brother lives in Vancouver, so we're going over there for a few days and just joining the fan zones, etc. It'll be great.
Nice.
I said to you that the migration of people will be staggering. Ben just wants to be part of the party, as he said there. And many people will be like that because the ticket pricing may make it impossible for them to go to the games. But the migration of people from Scotland will be on an unprecedented level.
Yeah, touching back on the cup final in St Mirren, I never think it's a free hit for any team that gets to a cup final. I think what St Mirren won't want to happen is the opportunity just to pass them by. Mm-hmm. This is a huge opportunity for the players, for the club. They've worked so hard to get there. Listen, anything can happen in football. Anything can happen in finals. So they'll just be hoping that the opportunity doesn't pass them by. I genuinely think they've got a good chance because, as we spoke about, Celtic aren't in really inspiring form at this moment in time, aren't unbeatable. So if St Mirren can build on this confidence from today, it's a big win for them. They get their game plan right, how they approach the game. They've got a chance, absolutely got a chance.
Especially when they've run Celtic so close in the league this season. Mm-hmm. They get Hampden, but they actually ran Celtic close at Celtic Park, not only
first game of the season.
Not only in Paisley.
Cup finals can go either way. We all agree that Celtic will go in firm favourites. Yep. Of that, there's no doubt. But as you touched on earlier, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a full week of preparing for it, or would you rather have Celtic's fixtures coming up? Hearts tomorrow, obviously Roma Thursday, and then going into the cup final. I still fancy Celtic to win it, but I feel that St Mirren going in with 4 points out of six in the last two games will feel a bit better about themselves.
If you add Marcello Cerracci to the Celtic injury list, and he's got a hamstring problem and is, I would imagine, has no chance of playing the cup final, you're talking about a Celtic team minus half a dozen who would be first picks.
Ben, well, thank you. Enjoy your week if you can, the build up to the cup final. We've got a lot to happen before then, of course, because Celtic play twice. That's St Mirren done, but Celtic tomorrow and then in midweek. So 01419511025, get your calls in, whether you are, like Ben did, a bit of both, didn't he? He's looking back on today's action, previewing the World Cup. Big game tonight, big game tomorrow, loads to get your teeth into. So give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
The talking begins. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell, Gordon DL, all here, all waiting for your calls. So get in touch. You don't need me to tell you, the list is obvious. Games today, games tonight, game tomorrow, World Cup draw, and so on. Sharon is on the line. How are you, Sharon?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Thank you very much.
What makes you fantastic?
I got my flights and my hotel booked for Philadelphia at 1 o'clock this morning.
So you've just gone for it. You're just going to Philadelphia.
I'm just going to Philadelphia. It's kind of halfway in between everything, isn't it? So I thought I'll get in there before the clamour the night for tickets. And so my daughter was at the other end of the phone at her house. I'm disabled, so I'm flying first class. Never flown first class, but I need a reclining bed for my chronic pain, and my daughter and son-in-law are my carers, so they're in the cheap seats and they're going.
Sharon, this sounds like the trip of a life. So, are you in for what are your dates?
Well, I'm going on the 16th,
right?
So I'm hoping to get possibly tickets for the Morocco game. And then head down to Miami, Atlanta, Superb. And outside the
chance. Absolutely. So the Friday one, the Morocco is the big one for you because you're going to Philadelphia. That's guaranteed. So that's the game that is in Philadelphia or Boston. We're about to find out. And you figure if it is Boston, that's fine. You can get there.
It's only a few hours. So we've got a just a Great Western Hotel, £80 a night, bed and breakfast for.
Can't argue that. Sharon's a travel agent here. I'm absolutely loving this. There's something about that, genuinely, right? See, when you hear normal people like Sharon, knowing where they're flying to, when they're going, where they're, that makes it quite real for me. I think that that's something that adds an extra layer of my goodness, that's actually happening.
I keep on telling you, Sharon is representative of the fact that the biggest migration of people ever to leave Scotland for an international tournament will take place in June.
I'm a bit jealous that people have managed to confirm it. Sharon, I don't know if this is, it's not going to ruin it because you've got the plan in place anyway, but it's gone the other way. I think I'm looking at it, I think it's just been announced that the Morocco game's in Boston, right? So it's not in Philadelphia, I don't think. But you'll make it there fine, won't you?
Well, we're in New Jersey, so it's only about a 4-hour drive from New Jersey.
So you've got, let's see, so I think, right, I'm just going to try and confirmation on this. No New York. So Boston twice.
Oh, right, okay.
But that gives you then a real scope to be based there, obviously. So Haiti against Boston, at Haiti in Boston at 9 p.m. local time.
What's that here?
Go on then.
2 a.m, is it not? I figured that out right. Let me double check then. Make sure I've got that right. But Morocco also in Boston, 6 p.m. local, I think, and the Brazil game's in Miami. Imagine Brazil and Scotland
game I'm going to
in Miami. Oh my goodness.
Only one game I'm going. And Sharon, if I'm going with Super Scoreboard, I'll see you in first class.
Did you know that? Do you know what it'll be? It'll be me, you and Shug, Cash for Kids, Row the Atlantic. That's what it'll be.
Yeah, probably.
I can honestly see it now. Sharon, you enjoy that when it comes around. Stay in touch before then, will you?
Brilliant. Scotland.
Absolutely. That sounds magnificent. Don't really let Sharon down there by that kind of...
There's no negative news. Come on. There's no
negative there isn't.
News.
Of course there isn't. But 2 a.m.
Is that
2 a.m. kickoff here?
That's for what?
Everybody's going to be up. How cool is that in a perverse way? Like, it's not ideal. Everybody will be up at 2 a.m. watching that.
Yeah.
So June 13th, Scotland versus Haiti, Boston kickoff 2 a.m.
Great. Uh-huh.
When's the Brazil one? Good time.
Kick off here, 11.
That's okay.
That's all right.
Not at night.
Yeah. Take that.
It's not ideal, is it?
Oh, no, it's fine. Time.
So similar. Scotland, Morocco, Boston's 11.
What
11
happens?
11 o'clock.
Well?
What do we do with Super Scoreboard at those times? I wonder. Anyway, that's for someone else to plan. And if you're listening, bosses, sales execs, get phoning, get working on this. We want to go, so get it sorted.
Glasgow, the district council.
I'll give you an hour.
Inundated with requests to extend the licensing hours.
Yes.
Yep.
And that will be
all over Scotland.
Yeah, massive for the economy.
Yeah, be brilliant for the hospitality industry again.
We got a wee public holiday the next day for that first one. What do you think?
I think there'll be a lot of sick days, shall I say, on round about them dates, I would say.
Yeah, so look, it's about the only thing that's gone slightly against us. We're happy to be there, got terrific opposition, terrific venues. There was going to be ever so slightly the kickoff times, a 2 a.m. and 2:11 p.m. UK time. So if you've got young kids, as Cammy says, going to need to speak nicely to the teachers, I'm sure they'll be. Because remember, when you were younger, maybe the teacher would wheel in the TV and all that sort of stuff. That's not going to be an issue here. But Hugh, you've been the most, to my surprise, you've been the most positive about the World Cup qualification. Nothing can dampen your spirit over it, including those kickoff times.
No, nothing at all. Because I can envisage what Glasgow will be like. And I say Glasgow because that's where we are. We're based here. Glasgow will be alive. 2 o'clock in the morning, I know my city. It can't be any other way. People will simply not go to bed and find out the score when they get up. Glasgow will be up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the other kickoff times fit that pattern. People will go out for the night, and part of the night will be extended licensing hours, and it will be rock and roll.
I think we're all looking forward to that. I've got to say, I was listening to Sharon, you could actually hear the excitement in her voice.
Yeah.
You know, she'll be, she's got one of those calendars she'll just be ticking off every day, counting the minutes and the days down. Brilliant. And listen, she will not be alone. Looking forward to it. It's so exciting.
Boston's a brilliant city as well.
I've never been.
I went
is that where the
ago.
Film Cheers?
It Sam is. Malone's pub, yeah.
We actually went to that because it's like a kind of, you know, like a landmark or tourist attraction or whatever. And then we got there, took a picture, and realised that Cheers is a bit before our time, meant nothing to us, and it was a complete waste of time. But other people would enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's a great city. I think that will work really, really. I'd have loved the glamour of New York. I think that would have been amazing. But I think Boston will suit that. I can just imagine it. I think it's going to be perfect.
I think it'll be amazing. Tartan Army in Boston, I think, you just look at the fixtures, it's a base, as you say, they can settle there, they can enjoy the city. From a personal point of view, I've actually got a friend who used to live in Annan who lives in Boston. So, listen, amazing. So,
I spoke to him in 15 years, but
he's my brother's age, so he's more my brother's friend. But listen, I'm sure a lot of people will be leaning on him. But I just think it's going to be an unbelievable experience for everyone that goes and enjoys it. And as you say, you can tell Sharon the excitement, the memories that she's going to make for a lifetime. So yeah, it's really exciting.
Did you see, Hugh, actually, it's something I hadn't really thought of, is what it will be like here.
Yeah,
you know, this country will be transformed, and whether that is because people need to stay up late or not. We've spent so much time focusing on what it's going to be like over there. I wonder what it's going to be like here.
Yeah, because if you've waited 28 years, then people will demand that it is celebrated, acknowledged. So there'll be all manner of fan zones. Mm-hmm. As I say, Glasgow and the west of Scotland simply will not go to bed. It's just not an option. This will be the equivalent of New Year.
Yeah.
Each night will be the equivalent of New Year's Eve. And sore heads in the morning, people worry about that when the morning comes.
But what happens now is the planning starts. Now we know the times.
Yeah.
Now we know obviously the venues. But the planning for here, as you say, licensing, fan zones. I'm expecting big things, certainly from Glasgow and everywhere else. Edinburgh, I'm pretty sure they'll have fan zones absolutely everywhere, and it'll be
Edinburgh. Will we buy Edinburgh. A pub from them?
Ah, everywhere. It's not the Rugby World Cup.
No.
Come on.
Will we buy a pub from them?
No.
Pop-up pub.
Pop-up pub.
Me and you. Cammy's a bit of a property guru. He could sort out the building, and you can sort the alcohol.
I'll the entertainment.
Oh dear me.
I'll
Jim. Jim's in Springburn. How are you, Jim?
I'm great, Gordon. I'd like to say, I remember the 1978 World Cup, and not every Scotland game was like 1 o'clock at night, but the telly used to shut off at half 10 or 1 o'clock. And then during the school holidays, you could all sit and enjoy the football. I was 14 at the time, so I enjoyed it and had a great time.
Is that right, Hugh? You remember that?
Oh, very much so. You know, everyone gets involved. 1978, I had primary school children, buying them Scotland strips, going through the whole drama of it all. You know, everything, the world's a much changed place, Jim, since 1978, and it's easier now to have late night celebrations, late night events, and that will have to be the case. So it will be even bigger than 78 and Ali McLeod and all that happened then. And
remember too well.
Yeah.
Remember at Hampden with the bus, Hugh?
Oh, yeah.
Hampden,
yeah.
Waving them off to the World Cup.
Charge people to get in.
Yeah.
To wave at a bus.
Jim, what do you make of this one then? We've just heard the first two games in Boston, last one in Miami. We've got a 2 a.m. and 2 11 p.m. kickoffs. What do you make of it?
Well, it not help with the heat as wise as well. Now they're saying about the heat, be a wee bit
cooler,
less humidity. humidity or anything like that, you know. But I think there shouldn't be an excuse whether the heat be there or not, because it's both the same sets of teams.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point. Again, I have to hammer home the point. There's no point in complaining about anything. After a 28-year wait, you go into a country that's warm. Get on with it.
I love your positivity, Hugh. Now I see it. All those years of negativity stored up for this one moment, and I'm here for it. Thank you, Jim. Robbie's on the other line. Robbie, how are you?
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, panel. How are you doing, guys? All right?
Good, Robbie.
If there's any bets with this World Cup, I'm going to put a bet on that Hugh Keevans, with that 2 a.m. game and other games as well, he'll be sitting there in his tartan jammies, draped in his Scotland flag. There you go. That's what I'm putting a bet on, definitely. How you doing, you all right?
Well, you know, Robbie, when the kids were growing up, you know, and they were in front of the television when we played Peru, I remember with the whole family. And the kids were in Scotland tops and all this, and lost 2-0. We completely underestimated Peru, and so the kids then learned about psychological scarring, and they now will look forward to this, and they'll be taking their kids to the World Cup final. I know they are, because I've heard all the stories about the bookings and everything. So there's no downside. As I say, if you wait 28 years for something, you better enjoy it, because you never know. I always say to people, I'd have had a big night out in St Etienne in 1998 if I'd known that was the last time you'd see Scotland at a World Cup final for nearly 3 decades. I'd have had a bigger night out than I had.
Have you got tartan jammies, man?
No.
We could get you some.
Yeah.
I think it'll be that big an occasion. I think you'll be sitting there with a kilt on.
I had kilt on once in my life for my daughter's wedding. And you remember Bobby Williamson, the great Kilmarnock?
Yeah. Bobby,
I had to say to him at the reception, if you don't shut up...
It's about drafting in here.
Or was he criticising your kilt wearing?
He laughed himself silly the whole day. But anyway, it will be just sensational. I mean, we are now talking here, early December, about something that happens mid-June next year. And Robbie is getting excited about it, and Sharon has got her flights booked,
and her accommodation, £8 a night, Best Western. Don't forget it.
That's a great deal, isn't it?
Great. Oh, wonderful. Robbie, I know you've got Celtic on your mind as well. A lot going into this game tomorrow, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, Gordon. And I was just going to say that I've got a feeling that Celtic will win, but I'm really, really concerned about Hearts, because at the end of the day, they've won one of their last 6 games, a good few draws in there, but I'm really concerned that this is going to be their biggest game since their last game against Celtic, and I think they might be up for it. I think Derek McInnes is awfully good that sent his team up and really, really frustrating the bigger teams, especially when it comes to Celtic Park. You know, he's quite a shrewd manager, and to the other side of that, for the Celtic point of view, is I think that with Wilfred Nancy coming in, I can, it's only a couple of training sessions he's going to have before he goes into the game, but I think these players are really, really going to be up for the game because of the new manager bounce. So it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword for me. I think the Celtic will sneak the game, but I think Hearts, even though they're coming in here with poor form, they're going to be coming into this game.
Robbie, the biggest problem, as you know, the biggest problem of all is that Celtic's injury list is huge. And the same players are being asked to go to the same well every Saturday or Sunday or midweek. And performance levels are dropping game by game for that reason. Whether it was Martin O'Neill or Wilfred Nancy, as it will be tomorrow, the list of players unavailable.
Do you think they could get something here, Hearts?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I've got to say, I think with the fact that the new manager coming in, it does, there's no doubt about it. As you're a player, you're sitting there thinking, I need to impress here, because he's going to have different ideas. He's going to get a January window, and they're probably going to bring in a right few players. So I want to make a big impression. Hearts haven't been the greatest of form, although you would take it all day long if you're a jumbo, sitting top of the league, they're now with Celtic, going to Celtic Park tomorrow. I fancy Celtic big time tomorrow.
I think, listen, it is a dangerous game for Celtic. Hearts have got strikers. Braga's a great player. Shanklin, we know, can score goals at the top end of the pitch. I think you're right, Daz. I think the Celtic players will be sitting in that changing room before the game going, this is an opportunity for me to show what I can do for the new manager and for the club, because I think there will be big changes. There'll be changes getting made in the January window and then in the summer. So listen, these players need to perform. I think Celtic might just get over the line tomorrow, but it's going to be a tough game for them.
They need Dyson Maeda like never before. I'm assuming that his eye injury has cleared up sufficiently well for him to play.
You've got Hatate hinting a bit of form. Ingalls hinting a bit of form.
Yeah.
You've got McGregor in the middle of the park. So
Trusty and Scales have done exceptionally
well. Yeah, they've got a good goalkeeper. When you look
at the problem is fullback. No, fullback is the biggest problem Celtic have.
Because it got lost in it. Obviously, the other night was about Martin O'Neill's farewell. Mm-hmm. It was about going joint top, but Sarachi started the game, had to come off early. Kieran Tierney's been, is it painkilling injections? He's clearly not firing. He's now going to have to play again when it wasn't the plan to bring him on as early the other night. So there are issues there. Alistair Johnson's obviously miles away, so that'll be shared between Donovan.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Derek does approach it, because you said there, Hart's strength is probably getting the ball to their front to score goals. Yep. So I don't know if they're going to sit with this low block and try and hit on the counter attack. I think Hearts might come to Celtic tomorrow, fancy the challenge, and have a go with the personnel they've got. And I think if they do that, I just think Celtic have got better players, and especially at home.
Thank you, Robbie. 0141 951 1025. How are you Rangers fans feeling, maybe heading down to Kilmarnock tonight? Give us all your thoughts there, and we'll recap that breaking news about the confirmed destinations and times for Scotland at the World Cup. We'll speak to you next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Into the final part of what's been a quick show already. So much happening, which makes it go quicker. Big games today, more to come tonight and then tomorrow. And confirmation of that news, Scotland's first game against Haiti will be in Boston. It will be a 2 a.m. kickoff here at that time, local time to us. The next game is also in Boston, against Morocco. It is an 11 p.m. kickoff. And in the third game, how do you like the sound of Scotland taking on Brazil in Miami? Again though, an 11 p.m. kickoff. So any thoughts there, get them in. We're going to start hearing from today's managers as well. Let's go. David Martindale saw his side lose 3-0 at Motherwell.
I feel the first half, the goal, bar the goal, there's a couple of counters we shoot ourselves in the foot, but we know they're good at that. That's kind of flipping it in behind. They know they're good at that. But we created a couple of good chances ourselves. I think Tate's got a good chance. Chris had one at the back post with a header, and Smithy had one that went by the keeper's right-hand post. They were very, very similar, but they score theirs. So they get one that drops to the edge. We kind of run out, turn my back in it. You got 1-0 down, we kind of tweak it slightly. And I thought it was a wee bit more even at that point. You've got to give something up here because they're good at building the game. But I thought the first half, Mazo and Smithy were in central areas too early, and the game became easy for them. But second half, we got them a wee bit wider. We managed to stretch our back line, managed to get a couple of penetrating runs in behind. And then we get away a horrific goal. Horrific goal. Now, if people are saying it's a pen, no, a pen, it's soft. I've not watched the back, I'm not really interested. So I need to stop talking about VAR. But how it leads to the entry into the box is poor from our point of view, poor from a coaching point of view, because we're working it all week. December's going to be a really big month for us as a group. Get to January with as many points as we can physically get, and then strengthen, because we need players in the building. That's after 15 games and where we are points wise, I think it's evident that we need to bring boys into the building to help the group.
So disappointed David Martindale. What about someone who I'm assuming is happier? He's got a big week ahead, Stephen Robinson.
I think they continued the character from the Aberdeen result. Football's a strange game because it's probably the least control we had in a game in our run that we haven't had wins. And we end up scoring. We score at really, really good times. Wing back to wing back, we've been preaching it, saying, you know, we need more people, we need more runs. So credit to the centre forwards, to Mika and Jonah, they make the space for it. When Dan comes on, he makes the space for it as well. So there are big things that we've worked on in terms of getting into areas and clean sheets. You know, we rode our luck a little bit as well, which we have had zero off lately. So look, it was important. We said we want to go on a run now after Aberdeen. It was important to follow that up with a win. And of course, there's apprehension around the stadium. There's apprehension from everybody. So it's just about getting over the line. And you know, they showed great character. I thought Alex Goggage and Miguel Freckleman were outstanding tonight. The two of them defensively. And give us that real battling qualities in a really tight game, not a lot between them.
You said after this, I mean, you'd ban talk of the final. Can
everybody talk about it now? They can talk about it now, yeah. I tried to ban, I wish I hadn't banned it because I hadn't won since. So I thought everyone was playing for a place in the final, but they obviously weren't for our results.
Is it new suits and things like that?
No, the boys don't want them. We've given them the choice. I've got a new suit. I took the option from Keith, yeah, I'll take one, yeah.
Got to cash in, get the new free suit, don't you?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. The players don't want them, so I'm agreeing with him. If I'm the manager, I'm up and getting a new suit.
Stephen Robertson sounds like a massive weight has been lifted from his shoulders, and he's clearly thinking, great draw at Pittodrie for me, good win at home today, free week. On top of everything else, Celtic have to play a big European tie on a Thursday night and have hardly any recovery time before a cup final. Stephen Robertson sounds as if he's much keener on the idea of the final now than he was a fortnight ago.
Yeah, he's in a different place, because since he beat Motherwell in the semi-final, I think they'd only picked up about one point or something. It was a big week for him. Up at Aberdeen, bit of character, and he took a lot from that. They've kicked on today. As you say, Hugh, they've got a big week next week. They can relax, they can do their work, they can just do everything leading up to the cup final. Celtic, on the other hand, they've got games, and sometimes that works for you, momentum. If Celtic, under this new manager, all of a sudden he hits the ground running, gets a result tomorrow, top of the league, gets a good performance against Roma, they'll be getting into the cup final flying. Yeah. So it can work both ways.
Okay, let's turn our attentions to tonight's kickoff in just over 2 hours' time, so it's a bit early for team news. Give us your thoughts, former Kilmarnock and Rangers goalkeeper, Cammy Bell.
Yeah, listen, I think it's an intriguing game. Kilmarnock, we know, haven't been on a great run this season. They've had a couple of decent draws, which will give them confidence. They're missing a few players at the moment. But certainly, I think when you look at that draw at Tynecastle, I know it was a last-minute goal from Bruce Anderson, latched on to probably a goalkeeping error. But again, they found themselves in the game, they kept themselves into the game, and they get a reward from it. For me, when you look at Rangers just now, they've had a really poor performance against Falkirk, 0-0. Then they've had a draw, which they were better in, up at Tannadice, 2-2. But they're conceding poor goals. They're conceding poor goals, which has been a theme of their season. But this, for me, is a must-win game for Rangers. They go in with a huge amount of pressure on their shoulders tonight, that they need to go to Kilmarnock and win, and it's never an easy place to go.
I've got to say, I agree with what Cammy's saying there, but you're going down to Kilmarnock. It isn't an easy place because everybody highlights the pitch, but Kilmarnock are really poor just now. I know they got a good result against Hearts, but I fancy Rangers strongly tonight. I really do. I think they'll have enough in their locker to get down there and beat Kilmarnock.
The biggest accusation levelled against Rangers is that they seem to lack the fight required. Well, they'll have to fight in Ayrshire tonight because Kilmarnock are desperate for points. Danny Rule, been here a short time, but he'll know this, that the crowd will turn, and they'll turn badly on him unless things improve at this moment in time. So it's a big, big night for Danny Rule and those Rangers players. I tend to think that, you know, with Brad Lyons missing for Kilmarnock because of suspension, injury problems, I tend to think that they are not strong enough to get anything out of Rangers tonight.
His team line will be interesting, Hugh, yeah. Rangers, because they've got three centre-forwards that can't score goals. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You wonder who's got to go with tonight.
Well, whoever it is, you know, goals come from other places. You know, it happened midweek at Tannadice from an unexpected source. I just think there's so much about this for Danny Rule, for the Rangers players. They dare not come away from Kilmarnock with anything other than the full 3 points.
I feel like it's hard to know, you know, kind of specifically what to expect or what even you're looking for from the Rangers team at the moment, Cammy, because the initial impact of Danny Rule was to make things a bit tighter at the back.
Yep.
that came out the window at times. They then were their level of creativity was on the floor. It was like a mid-table stat that you would expect from certainly not Rangers. But then they did create a lot more during the week. But then the defending went out the window, as Hugh says, and Gordon, no one's really performing well. Maybe Mikey Moore can come back, but yeah, it's kind of hard to know what it is that the Rangers fans are hoping to even be excited about tonight.
Yeah, because it's been so inconsistent. And again, even the short spell that the manager's been in, he's seen the inconsistency, as you mentioned. They tightened up the back for a little bit. Then they started lacking creativity and not creating chances. They're not taking chances, but then they start to lose slack goals again. So I think they've got to keep a clean sheet. First and foremost, they need to not give away individual errors that cost goals, because they've been doing that recently. So their centre halves need to be on the ball tonight, because again, if you've got Bruce Anderson up front for Kamarnock, you'll not give them a rest. You'll be after them all the time, expecting that mistake to happen. And then you've got to look at your strikers. The strikers need to start scoring goals. Mm-hmm. They really do. Whoever he plays up top tonight, they really need to start finding the back of net, because they can't just keep on relying on Tavernier scoring a goal or it coming from one of the midfielders. They need to start providing. Mikey Moore is a positive, because I really did think he was coming on to a game before his injury.
Right, come on then. Leave us with your predictions for tonight at Rugby Park.
I'll go 2-0 Rangers.
I'll go 2-1 Rangers.
I'm going 1-0 Rangers.
Okay, and tomorrow, top of the table clash, Wilfried Nancy's first game in charge of Celtic.
I'll go 1-1.
2-1 Celtic.
I'll go 1-3.
There we go. That is us. A busy day across Scottish football. We've got the excitement of a World Cup to officially look forward to. It was always official, but now we know where we're going, when we're going, who we're playing. Get the planning started. Enjoy your Saturday night of researching flight times and paths and cheapest airfares and free cancellation hotels and all the rest of it. Enjoy that. The GBX is up next. You could have that on in the background. And the guys are back tomorrow. Huge day of Scottish football ahead. Have a good one.